सुनिया
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 Sonia, l'actualitat del Magma. Sonia és l'actualitat del Magma. Sonia, l'actualitat del Magma. L'actualitat del Magma. Sonia és l'actualitat del Magma. L'actualitat del Magma. Una altra visualitat. El discurs de l'exposició. L'exposició del discurs. 24 i 25 de novembre 2006. Seminari al Magma. El Sonia parla amb Martin J., ponent d'aquest seminari, professor d'història a Berkeley i autor de pràcticament una desena de llibres, com La imaginació dialèctica,
1973,
Adorno,
1984,
The Denigration of Vision in 20th Century French Thought,
1993,
o Reflections of Violence,
2003.
El seu treball abarca la història intel·lectual europea, la cultura de la visualitat i la teoria crítica.
I myself am an intellectual historian, not a curator, and am not in any way practically experienced when it comes to settling these questions, but I'm fascinated by the larger issues that they raise. And the one that in particular fascinates me, and which I'll be talking a bit about when I come to Barcelona, concerns the relationship between how objects that are considered worthy of being in a museum are displayed in an age when traditional visual notions of what I call in one of my earlier texts Cartesian perspectivalist space have been challenged.
Règims de visibilitat en les pràctiques culturals contemporànies. Paradigma representacional, paradigma relacional.
Among the various so-called scope of regimes of modernity, the one that was dominant for a very long period of time, ever since perspective and painting and, might say, Cartesian philosophy, philosophy of subjective-object dualism, emerged in the early modern period. Ever since those occurred as the kind of dominant both cultural and philosophical models, space was understood as essentially rationalized, basically geometrical, filled with orthogonal lines that reach vanishing points and so forth, and involved a distant and disembodied spectator examining objects from afar, whether they be canvases or sculptures or whatever the object was. The idea being that instead of all of the senses being entangled or the proximate senses, let us say taste and smell and touch being dominant, visuality as a distancing and contemplative type of sense it became dominant. Now, there were other models of visuality in the modern period that vied for importance, and in the text that I wrote years ago called Scope of Regimes of Modernity, I discussed what was called the art of describing, a term developed by my former colleague at Berkeley, Svetlana Alpers, in a discussion of Dutch art, and then the idea of Baroque rationality, or the La raison baroque, discussed by the French theorist Christine Boussy-Glucksmann.
Paradigma relacional, museu contemporani, dispositiu exposició.
Is that the modern museum, more or less, emerged in the context of the triumph of Cartesian perspectivalism. That is to say, it involved a very distinct separation of the viewer from the object, partly to preserve the object, partly to give a sense of, in a way, sacred worthiness to an object that couldn't be touched or couldn't be handled or couldn't be used. So the object is put on a kind of pedestal above, beyond, in a space that is deliberately separate from that of the viewing subject. The subject is also, in a way, asked to suppress the other senses, more or less. That is to say, in a museum, one doesn't necessarily talk or listen or smell or was part of the learning experience of modern museums. It's a bit like the modern concert hall, which emerges more or less at the same time. In the concert hall, audiences were trained basically to suppress all the senses except hearing. They weren't supposed to talk or walk around or necessarily get involved. They were taught to be disciplined. And the disciplined modern subject, both in the museum and the concert hall, is one that operates with what might be called a hypertrophied sense, in the case of the museum, the eye, in the case of the concert hall, the ear, with the other senses suppressed. Now, this works very well for certain kinds of art, and it works very well for certain kinds of settings. But what makes it, I think, a challenge for 21st century art is that the actual objects produced, if one could even talk about objects, by contemporary artists or by artists since perhaps Marcel Duchamp and others in the early 20th century, are not objects to be revered in the same way that they were during the heyday of perspectivalism and the heyday of the Cartesian version of subject-object dualism. Instead, we get works of art that are closer to installations or happenings or experiences or works that involve the kinesthetic movement of the body, types of minimalism in particular, foregrounded and scandalized certain traditional critics of art, such as Clement Greenberg and Michael Fried. And with a lot of 20th century and 21st century art, the old notion of a box with an object on the wall and the viewer looking at it from afar is in tension with what the object or the installation or the experience tries to introduce. So that contemporary museums have as their task, in a way, the difficulty of dealing with these kinds of works of art. And I was recently in the Philadelphia Museum of Art for the umpteenth time, I go to often, and visited Duchamp's classic breakthrough work, Étant donné, one of his very last works. And as I'm sure all of your listeners know, it's a work which involves a play on the voyeuristic distanciation Cartesian perspectivalist regime. It involves looking through a door with two eyes, holes, which portray on the other side a shocking scene of an artificial nude body of a woman, open to the genitals, which are without the pubic hair, with a waterfall and a light and a nest behind her. Many people know what it looks like. And why this is so fascinating, why it was such a challenge, is that the actual experience is not one of the eye looking, but also the body being on display as the eye is looking. That is to say, looking at the object through the two peepholes allows you to be the object of the gaze of the other people in the room, and you become aware that you're not simply a disembodied eye, but also an object on display, being looked at by the gaze of others. So you are in the crossfires of a much more complicated visual field, not that of Cartesian perspectivalism. The object, as it were, looks back at you. You are in the field of other eyes. And the body, as it were, becomes much more important than the disembodied eye. And so this begins a kind of, breakthrough, a challenge, a deconstruction, whatever word you want to use, of the traditional white box, white cube of the modern museum.
Manera práctica, paradigma relacional.
One occurred to me from a visit I had a few years ago to the Chiasma Museum in Helsinki, Finland, where there was an exhibition of the work of, among others, Yoko Ono, the widow, of course, of John Lennon, but an artist of some note in her own right. And this included a piece, I forget the exact title, but the gist of the piece was the imperative to fix a broken or several broken pieces of pottery. I think it's called the piece is something like called To Mend the World or something of that sort. And what you're asked to do is to sit at a table with shards of pottery and glue. And you're given the opportunity to paste them together to sort of remend the world that's been shattered. So it's an opportunity not to simply view, but to act, not to be a distanced, contemplative voyeur, but rather someone who is making the art rather than simply viewing the art. Now, obviously, this is not something that could be easily used in many different contexts, but it's just one way in which a museum setting can restore some of what the Cartesian perspectivalist scopic regime denied.
Una altra visualitat. 24 i 25 de novembre, seminari al MACBA. 3B magba.es.